Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button because YouTube has this thing about unsubscribing people, Larson.
Yes.
Did you hit the subscribe button, Larson?
Why would I be subscribed to my own channel?
Because it helps the cause, man. It helps our profile.
I didn't even think we can subscribe to our own channel.
2.0, disruptive technology, buzzwords. Anyways, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Holy moly, Larson. We had our pizza party Patreon, over 1,000 patrons pizza party yesterday.
Yeah, it was great.
Holy crap. We experienced the joys of Super Chat. Like, so many of you are so kind and so generous.
Yes.
Opening your wallets and your hearts to us via Super Chat. And of course, we had Discord Club, newly formed Discord Club.
Yes.
There in watching the live stream with us as well.
It was great.
It was fantastic. I want to say sincerely thank you to everybody out there supporting
yes,
us.
Thank you very much.
It's really awesome. And we've created an amazing community here, Larson. Playing God the way we do. No good. Where else are we found?
I wouldn't compare us to any deity.
No.
Not even Mecha Santa.
No, especially not Mecha Santa. Did you mention Patreon already?
Wait a second. You're literally top notch in fun wrestling. He's a deity, no?
Well, not really.
No.
He may be delusional enough to think himself a deity, but he isn't.
Speaking of top-notch, have you seen that fantastic new top-notch Super Best shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com?
I made it.
Oh, well, somebody's coming up in the design world. The hot new design action star.
Yeah.
Hand Larson.
Yeah, I got more coming, too.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, so it's there. Be sure to check out our shirts. We have, I think, 10.
Yeah, 10 designs.
10 wonderful designs.
More
right
to
now.
Come.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that's all out of the way. Like we said, we spent yesterday watching Backlash along with like 2,000 of our friendos there.
Yes.
Also, and it was, I was, my expectations were kind of, but man, it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on.
What? You said it was a tie.
I didn't say it was a tie.
You offered a tie. I accepted your terms. We have a tie.
I won predictions. There was no tie to be had.
You said, let's call this a tie. Everybody can go watch the stream. And I said, okay. You presented me with an offer. I accepted that offer.
You didn't understand the full, obviously. You listened to what you wanted to hear.
No. This is what happened. I mean, how else can I interpret when you say, let's just call it a tie? How else can I interpret that?
Okay, fine. You lost. I won.
Honestly, I just forgot. Shirt on.
I figured as much. You're usually not one to welch out of a bet. You don't usually wiggle. You are many things. A weasel you are not.
I'm a man of my word.
You are. I'll give you that much.
Although I don't know how else I'm supposed to interpret your offer other than you said, let's just call it a tie. And I said, yes. And I don't see what, I mean, I'm just speaking honestly. You presented me with an offer. I accepted that offer.
No, I know. You know, but that offer was, I had forgotten that, you know, you had lost takeover results. So I forgot that I was up one. My point was this. I didn't think that the entire thing should hinge on Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper, because you were only choosing Eric in order to do something different from the obvious choices.
Well, I did that so because it's boring if it's a tie.
No, I know.
That's why.
So, but then I had Roderick Strong, which was a legitimate choice.
Yeah, it was. I thought they would pull the strength of numbers of sanity to cost Roderick the first match, and then he'd eventually go over. That's what I thought.
I just figured we get these two video packages with Roderick Strong, it might as well translate to a win.
No, that's
what happened.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about Backlash. We're going to do our takeover review. I think it's going to go up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, first thing tomorrow morning.
So to kick off the pre-show, on his
pay-per-view debut match? Ty Dillinger? No.
Ty was in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't really count. He was still technically in NXT.
He was, but that wasn't his, like, that's his pay-per-view, that was, pay-per-view debut.
That was pre-debut.
Or you could say that was his debut. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, he took on the artist Aiden English, who I think is already more over than Ty Dillinger. This makes me so sad. Look, it makes me sad. But come on. He came out there, he started singing, people started cheering.
And he had great pants.
And he had amazing pants. He had Starry Night.
Yeah, Starry Night in his pants.
You can do anything with stretch pants now.
I know.
You can put any. We should make some stretch pants available for people.
Sort of like
the Young Bucks do it. Why shouldn't we?
I was just about to mention that.
Like, we're like the same as them. We're like the Young Bucks of the internet wrestling community, except we're super old.
Can we get pants with the Going In Raw logo on them?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So make it happen.
Yeah,
make it happen. Does Pro Wrestling Tees offer that service?
I don't think so. We have to go through something else. Although, Pro Wrestling Tees does have those Macho Man chucks. I want some freaking Going In Raw chucks, dude. I wouldn't wear them, but it'd be cool to sell them.
You wouldn't wear them?
No. Ty Dillinger versus... I'm very picky about the chucks that I wear. It's got to be black. Black with white trim. Has to be. Anything else just doesn't work. That's just me, though.
That is just you.
Aiden English versus Ty Dillinger. There's a lot of back and forth in this match. I was surprised they didn't really just have Ty go over.
Like, I know.
Ty had to put up a fight against Aiden English.
Well, I mean, it was the only match on the pre-show.
Yeah.
So it had to fill probably a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Kind of a bummer. Like, why do this to Ty Dillinger all of a sudden? I mean, it's not all of a sudden. I just think there's
too much depth on SmackDown right now after the shakeup. Before the shakeup, I think he would actually been on the main card in a higher profile match.
When he came up to main, he could have at least been sort of the dark horse name in the U.S. title hunt, and he wasn't even sniffing that.
Yeah,
they could have brought him up, and wouldn't that first SmackDown episode where Kevin Owens comes out? Did they do like a number? What was the number one contender?
It was number one contender. It was Corbin versus Zayn versus AJ. AJ, yeah. And then the following week they had the six pack challenge for number one contendership for the world title.
He wasn't in that. No, I think we've talked about this before. He could have been in that.
He could have been, but I don't know if.
I mean, he's kind of instantly on this. I would think coming out of NXT with what he had built for himself there, he was kind of at the Mojo. He's kind of at the Mojo level.
Oh, yeah.
Although, hey, he was on the show last night and Mojo wasn't.
My only thought or thinking about that is maybe they don't want him in matches unless he's going to win.
Yeah.
Although,
God, that's a stretch.
No, I know, but I'm trying to find some logic in it.
The logic is the most logical thing is that they just don't have high hopes for Ty.
Or they just don't have anything for him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we'd heard before that Triple H always wants, a six-month plan for anybody called up from NXT. We've seen several scenarios where that obviously wasn't the case.
Yeah.
You'd like to hope, with as over as Ty was at NXT, how over his 10 chant is, they would have something for him.
Can we talk about his collar? Yay or nay?
Yay.
You love the collar.
I do.
What? I don't see how it's so ugly. It's so ugly.
I really felt like the LED lights in the collar this time, which made their debut this pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Really kicked things up to the next level.
It was kind of a WrestleMania entrance for Ty in terms of his attire. Get it?
Yeah, no, I got that.
Attire. His name is in the word attire.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm not a huge on the collar. I don't think it adds anything. I think it looks cheesy. Like, it instantly just makes him look like Ming the Merciless. What, he was the Flash Gordon guy, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen Ming the Merciless? You know what he looks like?
Yeah, I do.
Ming. Is it Ming or Ming?
Ming.
Ming?
I believe so.
Ming the Merciless.
Played by Max von Sydow in the movie.
Oh, there you go. See, look, it makes him look like him. Look at that.
Look at that.
That's a Ty Dillinger collar. No, it's not good. Don't say yeah as in, oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's not good. This was
an okay match.
It's actually a pretty decent match, yeah. Ty ended up going over, of course, with a new tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker version 2.0, where he actually, the person's face lands on his knee as opposed to their neck.
He should call it Go Ty Sleep.
It's terrible.
Go Ty Sleep. I'm going to give him a G Ty S. Anyways.
Terrible.
Yeah, pre-show match. It was what it was. I hope for bigger and better things for Ty. You think they're going to continue this feud, Ty and the artist? Really?
I don't see why they would.
The artist is going straight up to the world title scene.
Ty has two wins over the artist.
Yeah, that's true. Two, it should be two and done. To kick off the show, holy moly. Wow.
We were speculating this could be the main event.
It could have been. Dolph Ziggler versus Shinsuke Nakamura in his debut match on main roster.
Yes.
We finally got it at Backlash. I'll be honest with you. Not really the barn burner I figured it'd be. It actually kind of felt like these two were kind of going through the motions. Felt like they were just reenacting one of their dark matches.
You know, I kind of feel like that Shinsuke's WWE peak so far was his first match against Sami Zayn. That's the best match he's had in his tenure thus far.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but...
Not to say he's put on bad matches, because that's not the case.
His work with Joe, I think
was
his
very
work,
good.
I would say his work with Joe overall was his peak in terms of like the entire resume of
WWE.
But
his match with Sammy is the best match
so far. Oh, for sure. It's hard to top that match.
No, it was really good.
I mean, they let Sammy do what Sammy could do.
Yeah, I know.
And it's just, if anything, that's just a bummer match because it's like, man, we could be getting this every month.
I know.
Once a month.
I just mentioned that because it set the bar very high.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
In terms of quality matches. And we know Dolph can put on quality matches, although it felt like it's been since No Mercy.
No Mercy.
But I think that match was helped a great deal by the stipulation, the scenario surrounding that match.
Mm-hmm.
The story being told in that match where Dolph had to retire if he lost.
Yeah.
But this wasn't a bad match by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it was fine.
It was highly competitive.
Yeah, it was good. They let Dolph not look horrible. They made him look strongish.
Yeah, they did.
There were a couple bright spots in this match. I don't know what I expected, to be honest with you. Dolph was one of those guys who, I don't know.
Hold on. Before we continue, I will say that Shinsuke's first match, now that I think about more, against Samoa Joe at NXT Brooklyn, that's pretty close to the match against Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It's up there. The Sami Zayn match was like a match of the year candidate.
Yeah.
It was up there, dude.
I wasn't trying to besmirch Shinsuke's in-ring ability by saying his first match in WWE has been his best.
I don't think anybody can interpret it that way, dude. You're fine.
Because I like Shinsuke. I think he's very good.
No, I think he's fantastic. But, I mean, you know, it just Dolph wasn't really... I don't know. I don't question the logic of putting him up against Dolph first.
Well, I think the idea was because Dolph... is a good seller.
You just know that Shinsuke can be instantly in the scene. And there's, you know, there's the argument of should they showcase him first against a guy like Dolph who can really sell, or should they immediately put him up there in the world title scene, which is where we know he should end up.
Who is someone on SmackDown? Because you don't want to do Shinsuke versus AJ right away.
No.
AJ said, you want to build up to it.
He told us that personally.
He did.
Exclusive to Going In Raw.
But who's a really good worker that could put on a really good match?
Sami Zayn, who's on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen. But here's the thing about Sami Zayn, too, is that, yeah, we saw it, but it was an NXT. So the general audience didn't really, they're not aware of it.
Yeah.
They didn't see it.
It's a good point.
I mean, what are you going to do? Have Sami go heel? You can't, I mean, you can't really do that again. I guess you could.
Well, I don't necessarily, Sami wasn't heel in their NXT match.
No, I know.
It was just a match between two really good wrestlers.
I think on Main they prefer to do the heel versus face thing.
But like Dolph's motivation and his whole angle on the whole feud was kind of lame.
It was dumb. He hasn't done anything.
Shinsuke is a fraud. I mean, look, go on Wikipedia, Dolph.
It was so thin.
It's plainly obvious that
watch your own company's content, Dolph. Anyways, I mean, the match was what it was. It was a decent match. Like, you know,
we
can't really complain too much about it. It's just, you know, it's Shinsuke Nakamura. He's kind of a special guy.
Yeah.
He's special in my heart, Larson. So yeah. I want only the best for him.
Yeah, and I think we want to see. Yeah, exactly. We want the best for him. We want to see the best from him, too.
I want them to treat him like he deserves to be treated.
We want every match from him to be a five-star match.
I know, exactly. Next up, there was a lot of good stuff in here.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good stuff in this pay-per-view
this
last night. It's funny because I was watching
tons of fun.
I was finishing up, I was wrapping up watching NXT this morning, and I was like, you know what? NXT was really, really good. Backlash was up. It was doing good stuff too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, well, we got NXT. Oh, I'm going to watch Backlash now. That was good. Because next up was, this was amazing. I was so impressed the WWE would let Fashion Police versus the Usos go to that length in their comedy outing.
Yes.
Because this was a comedy match. This is something you'd see with Yano. You know, this was up there, and I thought it was beautifully done.
It was fantastic. So the fashion police, mm-hmm. Breezango, come out first.
Yeah.
And Chet Cheddarfield is Chet. Well, he's Fandango, sorry.
Correct, yeah.
But then Tyler Breeze comes out as the janitor.
He was undercover as the janitor.
The janitor with mop
in
hand. He brings the mop to the ring.
Yeah.
And Chet Cheddarfield, Fandango, is the first one in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Breeze, the janitor. Is out there mopping the ring apron.
Yeah.
On his way out to the ring, he was mopping the
ramp.
Hey,
man, when you're undercover, You're all in.
You have to be all in.
Exactly.
And there was this great spot where Tyler Breeze comes in. He uses the mop a little bit, which, you know, the mop is technically a weapon. Should not have been allowed in the ring.
Correct. Should be
anyways,
DQ.
Anyways, beyond that.
I'm pretty sure the ref was not, he didn't know.
Could be.
Tyler Breeze was so undercover.
That's a good point. He really thought it was a janitor.
Yeah.
So at one point, I don't remember which Uso.
I never know, dude. I never
gets
know.
Gets the mop.
And that's on me.
Breaks it over his knee, throws it out of the ring. He gets Tyler Breeze down on the mat, and he goes to corner to do a splash, and Tyler Breeze rolls to the opposite corner.
Yeah.
And that happens like two or three times.
Somebody in our chat pointed out that was they've seen that in PWG before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good. So that went on for a little while. Eventually, Fandango got back in. There was this great segment where one of the Usos ended up underneath Fandango and was trying to like knock him down, and Fandango was doing the thing where he was losing his balance, but it was obvious that he was just sort of mocking the idea of having to lose balance.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just started dancing above him.
Started grinding his hips.
Yeah, there was so much of that in there. And then Tyler Breeze then went back undercover as Grandma.
Yeah.
Complete with wig, cane, and dress. And, you know, hunched over, you know, she had bad posture and all that. And so she gets in. The commentators were selling it beautifully, too.
Yeah.
They were, like, all in on the undercover as well.
And then one of the Usos took the dress off Tyler Breeze and threw it, and it hit JBL in the head.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was amazing. The entire affair was great. However, the Usos did end up going over with a super kick.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how much further they can carry this out.
Well, this is a spoiler coming, so spoiler alert. Reporting on the dirt sheets today was that, again, spoiler alert, so if you want to hear this news, if you want to be surprised something happens on SmackDown, skip ahead about 30 seconds or a minute. Are you ready?
Wait.
Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, okay.
New Day are going to be on SmackDown this week.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, that's supposed to be a surprise?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right on. Wow, that's awesome.
That's what the dirt sheets are saying.
Well, we'll see if they hop into the... If nothing else, they will... You would think that the New Day will at least allow for a bigger spotlight on the tag team picture.
Yes.
Which, you know, I really doubt they're going to get involved at least now in the tag team scene, like in terms of the title.
Yeah.
I could see them. I mean, at the very least, I would think they'd, if they do want to get them involved in the tag team scene, they would like throw the Ascension in there, a couple other jobbers, like for the first couple weeks.
Yeah.
You would think.
There definitely feels like there's more to this Fashion Police Usos story.
Yeah, I would think so, for sure.
And I want to see the Fashion Police win those belts.
I know. I think everybody
doing
does.
Great work. The
they're super over. They are over.
Yeah.
People love
yeah.
them. They're fantastic. So then we had Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin. This was really surprising. They had Zayn go over clean.
Yeah, it was kind of a surprising match.
It was a Luva kick.
Because it wasn't necessarily as fast-paced as I thought it probably would have been.
Sammy's gimmick of loser wrestler.
Losing wrestler.
Sort of put to the test here.
But, you know, there's this whole sequence in the middle where Baron Corbin had Sami Zayn in a bear hug.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how often I've seen Baron Corbin do a bear hug since he's got called up from NXT.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting choice when you have Sami Zayn, who's a great worker who can work fast. Baron Corbin, for a guy his size, can work really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an interesting... I mean, I guess you could say that was Corbin's strategy, was to slow down Sami Zayn since he is a fast wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess in that sense it makes sense, but it's just surprising.
Yeah,
just
no, surprising I agree. If you have speed and power, which is sort of Corbin's thing,
yeah,
then you should be able to, you should utilize it.
Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty surprising considering we both picked Corbin to go over.
I mean, I thought this was like kind of lock-ish. Well, I don't know about lock-ish, but I definitely like sort of like least likely on my list of scenarios for this match would have been Sami Zayn winning clean with a Huluva kick.
I know.
Because they have not been jobbing out Corbin, although I guess he did lose. Didn't he lose clean to AJ?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, here's my thing. I'm actually totally fine with that. I'm not huge on, like, protecting too many people.
I know.
I like when people get solid losses.
Yeah, you know?
It's okay. Builds character.
It does. I mean, there's... I'm not huge on 50-50 booking, but I'm also not huge on feeling the need to protect everybody, you know?
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
People can take losses so long as it enhances storylines.
And it's funny because we sort of take for granted Sammy's the guy who can eat a lot of losses and be just fine.
Yeah.
But at some point, he does need to eat. He needs to get some
points. I know what I mean? He can only be the underdog for so long.
Yeah, exactly. Before you're just bad wrestler.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was... It's funny. It's one of those things where it's just you. It's just weird. Like, you should celebrate. You should be like, oh, I really want Sammy to win. I really want Sammy to win, even though we're both Corbin fans. You know, I really want Sammy to win. And then Corbin ends up winning. And on top of that, I have not liked how they've been doing the Sami Zayn character lately. So, like, I think a part of me was actually, no, I kind of want to see him lose. I don't like that. I don't like the Larry David crap. I like Larry David. I like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I like it on HBO, not in WWE. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Agree or disagree?
I mean, I agree with you about Curb.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
The way that they've been doing Sammy's character is, I don't know if I've really been into it.
Sometimes it's been a bit more obnoxious than others.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's you know, sometimes it's not there, and sometimes it's really there.
I know.
And I don't get, like, the lack of consistency there. I don't know who that's on.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Anyways, after that we had, Jinder Mahal. Was this when he actually pulled up, got out of the car?
Yes.
Okay. So a nice car pulls up. So the Bollywood boys come out with, like, a rug.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear that looks like the rug in my front room. They roll it out, which was, like, maybe $100 at Target. They roll it out for Jinder. He gets out. Looks like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately has... We said this during the live stream. That was the most win face I maybe have ever seen in my life. That was so win face.
Yeah.
He had win written all over that face.
Apparently, they decided to put the belt on him just 2 hours before the show.
Are you serious?
That initially... I think it was on Cage Side Seats I read this. Initially, the plan was for him to win. And then I guess Sunday morning, they changed their mind... Because they want to have a Rusev enter the world title scene as well.
Interesting.
And then 2 hours before the show, they changed their mind back to having Jinder win the title.
Wow.
So I guess the initial plan was for him to win, and they changed their mind, then they changed it back.
Again, man, I said this during the stream. This is the good thing, the great thing about having the Universal title out there and on a marquee guy like Brock Lesnar, who's not going to show up. He's a huge draw. But the WWE can always point to him as, oh yeah, this is our top guy, big draw. You also have, but then they sneakily, they have the lineage belt, the title with Bruno, Hulk,
Stone Cold,
Rock, all those guys. They have that title sitting around. So that the guys who, the interesting choices can hold that title too. Cause Jinder, you know, however you fall on him, very interesting choice. You and I are both huge on it.
Yes.
Both love it because
it's
something different. It's something interesting. I think he deserves it. Cause it's, you know, hard work pays off, and, you know, people can say as much as you want. Well, you know, what's his dietary supplement situation? And you can talk about that, and that's fair because, you know, he looks a certain way. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt until it's proven otherwise. That's why there's a wellness policy out there. So that's where I fall on that. But I totally lost where I was going with that. But anyways, Jinder steps out. He gives an interview.
Yeah, and I mentioned this on the stream yesterday. They made an interesting stylistic directorial choice with how they presented his interview, because most backstage interviews, the person talking doesn't speak directly to camera.
Mm-hmm.
Jinder spoke directly to the camera, and it went to a pretty tight close-up.
Yeah.
It was different than how they've been shooting backstage interviews over the last, I don't know, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very effective choice.
I would love to think that, creatively speaking, and I think they do to a degree, and this is clearly evident with the way they design entrances. Not a lot of people have similar entrances to each other now. When you're in NXT, they plan out your entrance, and that's the entrance you carry on to Maine.
For the most part, yeah.
And I like to think that they devise these sort of guidelines on a wrestler-by-wrestler basis. And they, with Jinder, maybe when he won that six-pack challenge and they did have him do the in-ring interview and he talked to the camera.
Well, it's usually when they're in the ring, they'll talk to camera. It's right. Backstage.
I'm saying don't. Maybe they saw that okay. in how powerful he did come off with that close up talking gotcha. To camera. Maybe they said, hey, you know what? This is something that we don't really do for anybody else. We can make this a thing for him.
Yeah.
That's what Could I'm be. Thinking. Anyways, it was very powerful. I thought that he had all the confidence in the world because yeah. He found out 2 hours earlier that he was going to be winning the title. But anyways, he did his Jinder spiel. He said, here's my only pet peeve with what Jinder says is that he uses the word haters. And I cannot stand that word in terms of, hey, this is a serious villainous, you know, guy. He calls himself the Maharaja, which evidently means king or leader, something like that. And, you know, he's supposed to be a big rich guy. And he uses the word haters. I don't think that haters should be. That's something James Ellsworth should be saying, the word haters, not yeah. Jinder Mahal. Yeah. That's my only bugaboo there. That being said, that's like such a small, you know, thing to pick at. Otherwise, I thought it was fantastic. I love what he says. And now I'm going to speak in my language to my people, Punjabi. And then he goes off. I think that I love that. It's so yeah, great. It's yeah. such a great sort of transition.
I'll make a quick correction. It was Sportskeeda who had the story about Jinder.
All right.
Good being job. Booked to win
good job with that
hours
sports
in advance.
Yeah. So anyways, he gives his interview directly to camera. He looks great.
Yeah, great interview.
Then we get an Ellsworth promo. I might be in the minority on this one, man, but I love me some James Ellsworth.
You have come around on James Ellsworth.
Yeah, I know I have. I think he's perfect for what he's doing.
Oh yeah.
He's absolutely perfect for what he's doing. Because here's the thing is that there's something oddly legitimate about him
mm-hmm.
in that he's taking his he is the perfect personification of cowardly heel manager.
Yeah.
He fulfills that role so great. And he's not. I don't know. I just really love James Ellsworth. He goes, I'm not going to overanalyze it. He gets in the ring. He just drops a great heel promo. People hate him.
Yeah.
And I think he adds to the product in that way.
Yeah. He had a pretty good segment on the pre-show, too.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were sitting here watching it.
When was what happened?
When he
there?
Came out to the panel.
Yeah.
And then dropped his catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
Duh.
Duh. I mean, come on. How do you not love that? That's great. He's just a good character. It adds to the product, I think.
Yes.
Anyways, next up, of course, we had he was introducing Carmella
yes.
and the welcoming committee.
Yes.
En masse. We had a 6-woman tag match. Becky Lynch ended up tapping out of the sharpshooter. Just a straight up match.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of tease as far as tension or dissension amongst the face team.
No, not really. It was just, you know, the heels were on. They're all on the same page. They have a name for themselves.
Yes.
They've got some quality talent. And therefore, they're all on the same page. They won.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had Becky tap out. Maybe, you know, is this going to lead to something? I don't know. Probably, you would think. This is not just going to dissolve.
Like, no, yeah, I would somehow. Expect more matches between these 6 women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of surprised, but then I wasn't because it's always like, hey, you know, if they're going to do something, have it be. It's odd that Becky Lynch, I don't want to say she's fallen to this point. But she's the one eating the pins. Like, you can't have your champion tap out. You can't have Charlotte tap out. So you got a Becky Lynch who's like one of the most over people.
Do you think it's a situation where they don't know what they want to do with the storyline?
Kind of, yeah. It feels like that. It definitely feels like that. Because who says, oh, we need a story development here. I got nothing. Have Becky tap out. That feels like it how it is.
I know.
Like, it's as if. So my thing is totally, I think that. At the very least, the idea has been proffered, turn Becky heel.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, or we've heard rumors that they're not huge on the Charlotte face turn, but I think that you can't go back on that this soon. And so what are they going to do? Naomi goes heel? Well, she's the champ. We already have a heel champ on Raw. We can't really do that. Becky? I don't think they want to do that at all, but I think that it's kind of the logical choice.
It is. But then you have a situation where you have... 2 faces
I know.
In the women's division on SmackDown, everybody
and
else
then, like,
is heel.
18 heels. I know, exactly. I know. Yeah. So I think they probably just wrote themselves into a spot. It would
it seems to be the
in,
case.
In that regard, maybe it wouldn't surprise me if they just sort of on Tuesday, all right, let's figure out some singles feuds here and just end this thing.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. AJ Styles took on Kevin Owens, the new face of America.
Did you rewatch this match?
No, I did not.
I did last night after I got home.
What'd you think?
Still very good.
Yeah, seemed very good when we were watching it.
And
told a good story.
It did, and I think the probably the best part of the match, in a sense, is knowing full well this is their last bout.
Yeah.
That they're going to get every opportunity to top this, which I feel like they could do easily.
You think it's going to go into SummerSlam?
I wouldn't be surprised. Although there were reports that Shinsuke was going to start wrestling Owens during live events before SummerSlam, I believe. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a situation where this feud goes to SummerSlam and they're just, if on the road, it's Shinsuke, Kevin Owens, is to prime themselves for the feud after SummerSlam.
That could be. Yeah, that totally could be.
Or that would be the feud.
Yeah.
I don't know what Shinsuke would do in the meantime, because I'm assuming, or I hope, this program between him and Dolph is done.
Let me ask you something. What are the odds? You think we're going to get a rematch on Tuesday?
How long did Dolph and Baron Corbin feud? Months.
A very long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen again.
No, I don't want that to happen again either. I'm hoping they put this, like, their blow-off on Tuesday.
Could be.
Just the rematch on Tuesday, get it done with, and then try to move Shinsuke on to something else. I don't know what, though.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to move him on to? The artist? The artist, Aiden English?
Yeah, everybody else on the upper card and upper mid card are kind of doing something right now.
I'm telling you, they're playing with fire with Aiden English. Put him in there against anybody else. He starts singing. People are going to start popping for that.
Oh, I know.
There's going to be like a backlash, so to speak, to them trying to push him as a heel.
Maybe that's what they want.
Hey, remember look, when a star is born, a star is born.
Simon Gotch got released. I remember reading stuff that said they had they were going to give Aiden English a solo push.
Yeah, that could be.
So
that could be. I don't know.
What do we always say when heels start getting over with the crowd because they appreciate their gimmick or their work?
Yeah.
Then you can turn them face.
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah,
it
totally works. Back absolutely. To AJ versus Kevin Owens. Great match.
Yeah, so the story of this was Kevin Owens was targeting AJ's knee, leg, ankle lock.
Because on SmackDown, the Go Home show, Owens hit AJ in the knee with the U.S. Championship.
Right.
And so the first third or even half of this match, Owens was trying to get to the leg, but couldn't capitalize.
Right.
So he started wearing down AJ.
Yeah.
Lots of headlocks, lots of moves. Then he finally, there was a spot where AJ had
stifling
Owens,
AJ's offense.
Where AJ had Owens in a position for a Styles clash on the apron.
Yeah.
Owens reverses and hits AJ's leg onto the ring post.
Yeah.
And from that point, the tide turned. Owens really started working that leg. AJ would eventually, at a moment to come back. But Owens would always go back to the leg, put him in a half crab, ankle lock that looked
legit. Nasty, yeah.
And then they eventually got to the outside. Owens threw AJ over the barricade into the timekeeper area. AJ got up, hit a phenomenal forearm off that, was starting to put Owens on the table. Was going to give him a Styles Clash on the table. And this was actually really well done.
Yeah, this was.
Owens reversed it, and in doing so, AJ got his right leg, the leg that Owens had been working the entire match, stuck in one of the holes of the monitor goes in on the announce table.
Yeah.
And so Owens goes back into the ring, and AJ pulls his foot out and is caught in a bunch of wires.
Mm-hmm.
And then Owens is less, AJ gets get counted out,
yeah.
So he can retain his title, and AJ's just stuck in these wires with a bum leg.
Yeah.
So I know on Twitter, a lot of people were upset in the chat as well yesterday during the stream that the match ended in a countout. But
this
I thought
is
it made
perfect
a, it
act
made a
one.
World of
it's,
sense.
This was a perfect act one. This you look, we weren't going to get a one-off AJ Kevin Owens match all one and done. No, that's
no,
not what
nor
you
is
want.
It,
you
nor
want
is
this to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should be a 3 or 4 month feud.
And they did it in a very creative way. With that, they did it. They told a really really great story.
Yeah.
This is what you want out of an act one. I love the bit where AJ, who is such an absolute professional.
Oh, that the phenomenal form attempt.
Yeah.
Where at first he turned to me and goes, you say, is that a botch?
Yeah.
And they showed the slow-mo replay. He's like, no, he's selling knee injury.
Yeah. Yeah. So great.
Because
that was after the ankle lock, I think. So he was sort of selling knee angle. I mean, he was selling the totality of the injuries.
Yeah.
So good. So good. So no, look, you want more of this.
Yes.
You want a lot more of this. So
I mean, this as good as this match was, it felt like this is 65% of what these two guys can do in the ring.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go that far, man. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Next up, we have Dude Harper versus Eric.
Just Eric.
Just Eric. Thank you. The thing that I love about it is that you don't like the angle, but you always correct the angle whenever I misspeak it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan.
Harper went over with the discus clothesline. And I know Rowan was on the pre-show, and he was on Talking Smack last week, and I missed – well, we were watching the pre-show, but we had the sound down. And I didn't watch Talking Smack, so I didn't gather – what his whole gimmick is now, but does he gain power from his mask? That seemed to be the story they were telling in this match.
Yeah, I think there's something along those lines. I honestly don't know, man. Because he's got like several masks in his bag of masks.
Yeah, but he seems to want to get rid of a lot of them.
Yeah, I don't really get it, to be honest with you. He took one out and he like threw it out again. I didn't watch it. Everybody looked confused. I think he's supposed to be kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, I gather that much.
I love, and look, man, watch the pre-show if for no other reason for Booker T's reaction to Eric Rowan.
Oh, my gosh, that was so great.
Booker T is fantastic. Man, he's so good. But anyway, I mean, this was a match we kind of thought it was actually a little bit better than I figured it would be. Mm-hmm.
Well, their match they had on SmackDown a couple weeks ago wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was decent. I feel like they kind of need... Man, they need to figure something out with Luke Harper. They need to figure something out with
him. He's so good.
If you're gonna take my idea of doing Dude Harper, then figure something out. But he needs something because he is so good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're not entirely sure. So I don't know. But yeah, decent enough match.
Yeah, it was okay.
I mean, Eric Rowan, you're not gonna get a 5-star match out of him.
No, but I like that they're trying to give him a character, so there's story involved in his matches.
You know what, man? He's got more of a character right now than Luke Harper does.
That's true.
So he's got that going for him.
Very
true. That's always important.
What do you think Luke Harper's character is right now? Dean Ambrose cosplayer.
No, man.
He's wearing the same ring gear as Dean.
I would like some vignettes where he's talking. I think he is former cult member who's trying to put his life back together. So
I know.
He's learning to be human.
I think that would be good.
I think that's it. I want to see that. That's what
I
want to see. I just want to see what's going on here. You can't just snap out of the Wyatt family after 4 years.
No, you think that would affect you.
I know exactly. Like, you know, your credit's probably crap because you walked out on your family.
It's true. You didn't pay any of your bills.
Exactly.
It's true. You probably have all sorts of collection notices.
Right.
In your mailbox.
You know, day-to-day life, once you're older, there's a lot going on.
If it weren't for, like, auto bill pay,
yeah,
I don't know how I'd be able to keep up with it all.
You and I used to have a roommate who didn't keep up with it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Anyways, moving on. Randy Orton put up the WWE World title. The WWE title, is that what they're calling it now? Against Jinder Mahal, the challenger. And, ooh, boy, Jinder Mahal won. Oh, my God. You guys can see it at the 2-hour, 10-minute mark, something like that, on our live stream. Man, this was number one. Decent enough match.
Yeah.
Decent
they
enough
match. They gave it a lot of time.
Randy, you know what, man? It's one of those things where when Randy is motivated, and we kind of thought, well, okay, after the Wyatt thing, we're going to get boring Randy. All it took was Jinder Mahal to sort of re-motivate him. Got to give some props to Randy for that.
Yeah.
And that GIF floating around, it's got like 2,000 likes. From, what is it, TDE, TLE?
Oh, Total
Wrestling?
Divas episode.
Is that what it is? Okay.
It is, yeah.
Well, they generated a GIF of him flipping. You know, the funny thing is, if you look at it, so Randy, you know, at some point the Bollywood boys try to interfere. Randy's on the outside. He starts tearing into them. He starts throwing them around like rag dolls. He gets rid of the first one. With the second one, he's going to do like a...
It's a belly-to-back suplex.
Yeah, belly-to-back suplex onto the announce table. Well, Randy does his part. The other guy is so ambitious because, man, he did the thing. So Randy has him up here, and instead of just allowing Randy to drop him through, when Randy brings him up, that guy does the biggest crunch ever and basically lifts
does
himself.
Does a flip, I know.
Does a flip. Like, he sells the living crap out of it.
Randy
was not expecting that, and the guy kind of topples on his head, shoulder, neck area.
Yeah, onto the announce table area,
And Randy turns around and goes... Like that, it was so great.
And he takes a couple beats and he goes back over to the table, and he grabs the other Singh brother,
mm-hmm.
But we both got the feeling that he was going over there to check on.
I think he was. Randy is well known to be a safe, you know, one of the safest workers in the business. And the fact that he turned around and did that, man, you know, I might have just hurt somebody. There was some, I don't know. You know,
speaks to Randy's professionalism.
It really does. I mean, these are performers,
well,
man.
Sort of like when at Survivor Series, when Shane got obliterated by that spear, he goes over to Shane's kids and tells him it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Pro.
Randy, you know what? Here's the thing, though. Here's the funny thing, though. If you think about it, it's not, I mean, it's not the most professional thing to break character and do that. What it is he's so high up on the card that he can break character and do that. He's looking beyond the business and seeing the human aspect of things. And that's not being a pro. That's being so big that you can do that. And I appreciate that even more.
Okay.
Because nobody's going to yell at him backstage.
No.
Oh, man. You got to love that. That's using your powers for good, not evil, Larson. That's what it is.
And huge credit to Randy for. I mean, I imagine a wrestler of his stature in WWE, he probably could have said, I want to keep this belt.
Yeah.
He didn't do it. He realized it was to the benefit of the company for this to happen. And propers to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huge respect.
He gets in there and he takes Ginger's finish. Doesn't kick out.
Nope.
He eats it.
And it looks like he said something to Ginger too.
Yeah. Yeah.
During the pinfall.
God, I love that. There is that, we've referenced this before on the show. There, I think it was an appearance on Sam Roberts' podcast when Randy Orton was specifically talking about Jinder Mahal a couple of years ago. And he was saying, you know, how the WWE really, you know, dropped the ball, but he was singing Jinder's praises and saying, yeah, you know, the kid looks like $1 million and blah, blah, blah. So you can tell that Jinder's one of those guys that Randy has, you know, sort of noticed.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think this is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's great.
And when somebody like, you know, Triple H noted this in some interview, I forget where, maybe it was a conference call, and he was singing Jinder's praises, saying, hey, this is a guy who, you know, went away, learned more of his craft. He was talking about Drew as well.
Yeah.
Learned his craft, but really, really started training really hard and putting in all this extra work.
Yeah.
And that has to be noted and rewarded.
Yeah, and then following Jinder's win, a bunch of his peers on Twitter were congratulating him and saying, you know, you deserve this for all the hard work you've put in. I can't talk right now. I'm sorry.
No.
All the hard work you've put in.
Yeah.
So it's something that's not only been noticed by management, but apparently by people backstage.
By his peers, exactly. Yeah. So that speaks a lot. Like, whether you like the idea or not, or whether you want to say, oh, this is because they're trying to get into the Indian market. Look, man, a lot of factors go into somebody winning the world title. The vast majority of them are business related.
Yes.
You know, like they do this to make money.
Yes.
That's the entirety of their business. That's how it's been.
As great of an in-ring performer Ric Flair was, he wouldn't have been world champion 18 times if it were not for his ability to put butts in seats.
Right, exactly. So I applaud this decision.
Me too.
I think it was great. You can see our reaction to it on the live stream. It's up right now at our YouTube channel. So yeah, this was fantastic. Where does this go from here? I personally don't think I would be very surprised if Mahal walked into SummerSlam with the title. But then at the same time, I don't know. Sometimes WWE likes to extend these things out. So
I know. I think when
he won the 6-pack challenge, I said right here, there is no way he's winning the title.
And then by the time we did our predictions, we upped that to about 20%.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it happened.
Goodness gracious.
So a lot of it's going to depend how his victory is received, not just by the audience, but I think by the, you know, kind of global wrestling community.
Mm-hmm.
That'll dictate a lot. I mean, last night when after he won the belt and celebrating, seemed like the crowd was giving a pretty good reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to determine a lot, I think.
I mean, a lot of the casual fan base really, I mean, Randy Orton still gets crazy pops when he comes out. That's a lot of casual fans. I personally think is popping for him. But definitely, I think it's so funny, dude, that so many of the smart marks have come around to it because he's a guy who isn't being, and it's so funny that certain people, how do I put this? The idea of, well, we're not going to accept this guy who's being shoved down our throats, but we're going to accept this guy. And honestly, I think the difference is this guy paid his dues for a long time,
yes,
and we're seeing a reward that we seemingly so seldom get
yeah.
for a guy who has put in so much work.
Yeah, I know.
There are so many times we've seen guys put in a lot of hard work for no rewards. And when I say rewards, I mean the belt. Everybody's getting paid. This is a business.
Yeah.
But we associate the title with as a reward.
Yes.
You know? And so when you see a guy who's paid his dues, who suffered through three-man band and more, but then comes back, and regardless of if he's on substance or not, I don't know. Like I said, I prefer to
give people the benefit of the doubt. Yes.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
You know, even if you're doing that, you still have to train your butt off.
Yep.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think steroids just allows you to train harder and more, right?
Yeah, it helps you recover quicker. That's
right,
kind of
exactly.
But, you know, it accelerates, I would guess, muscle growth. But, it's not like if you take steroids, you're going to get buff. It doesn't work that way. You still have to work out.
Exactly. So, regardless of if that's the case, and I'm not assuming it is, he's working his ass off, you know, and to see that be rewarded, and I'm not saying that Roman Reigns isn't, but Jinder got everybody to pay attention because Jinder, hey, if you don't think the three-man band gimmick was a struggle, then you're not paying attention.
Yes.
And I haven't seen Roman Reigns be put through a struggle like that.
No.
That's for sure. When a U.S. title run is considered a punishment for a wellness violation, then
that's not struggling.
That's not really struggling.
No.
So
it's always great to see wrestlers given a huge opportunity and grabbing that opportunity and running with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is what Jinder has done.
That's exactly the point.
Because there's been a lot of times where we've seen wrestlers, they say, okay, we're going to give you a shot at the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might not be from any fault of their own. They may be trying, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything that Jinder has done has been working so far.
It's been working, exactly. So
I'm looking forward to see, you know, how they book his title reign, how long it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's going to be based largely on how he's received by the audience as world champ.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully, if last night was any indication, it's going to be well received.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to see them. I want to see a reaction. I want to see a very strong reaction, whether it's, you know, the kind of heel reaction that I think that he really is aiming for.
Yeah.
That's really what I want to see. But I do get the feeling that where are they Tuesday?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would assume somewhere in the Midwest.
Yeah, I would think so too. I'm not sure if they're going to be in, you know, like,
hold on, give me
smart
a second.
Mark territory or not.
I'll
but
find out.
I think he's going to get a reaction one way or the other.
Toledo, Ohio.
That doesn't sound like smart Mark territory, but whatever. So hopefully he gets, because, you know, the smart marks are going to cheer him, I think. And then, you know, hopefully the casuals will give him a really strong boo. They'll give him the heel heat that I think they all want to see from him. Regardless, it'll be interesting to see what happens Tuesday on SmackDown.
Yes.
So that's it for our Backlash review. Keep an eye out for our NXT TakeOver review tomorrow morning. And, till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.